flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
I've worked so hard and spent so many hours in therapy trying to forget about Young Thundercat. I feel like Hart and I were talking about this last week. That may have been such a cringe-inducing moment. We know Stacey James or somebody came to him right afterward and said, like, yeah, that tested real poor.
Do you know how many times he said it? Do you know how many times? It must have been like 7 or 8. It was an uncomfortable amount. It was an uncomfortable nickname anyway, but then the amount of times he said it was uncomfortable.
I think a lot of people immediately went into like a snap judgment of, oh, I'm already out on this.
I wasn't. Like, I wasn't far from it, I can tell you.
Yeah, that was, I couldn't believe. And what that also did was created this level of distrust between a lot of fans and Gerard Mayo / ownership, because that made them feel like, oh, so you guys have just been best buddies in cahoots behind closed doors and... this whole entire time while the Belichick tenure was coming to an end, you guys have just been whooping it up behind scenes, you know, the Thunder buddies. That I think that created a level of distrust between the Mayo administration and fans that hasn't really recovered since.
No, it's a good point. Like, oh, you're that tight with the owner? Well, now we know what's going on with Bill and why he was shoved out and why there was a wink and a nod agreement and why you were comfortable enough to carry your baseball bat around to meetings, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's a
now
lot.
Now they call me Batman. I mean, like, wasn't that like the old Lean on Me movie? Yeah. Like the, yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of, there are a lot of hits this year from Mayo, if you want to call him that. But fortunately for him, I really haven't heard any in the last.
They used to call me Crazy Joe, but now they can call me Batman.
There it is. There it is. How about Nick? Ready to go. But it's, he didn't have any of those in the last 24 hours, which is a mild win, but that's important for him. He needs little wins like this. I know it's a low bar. But if he had another one that he had to walk back today, I don't know that he can recover and come back from that. So at least from a PR standpoint, he felt pretty buttoned up after the game and this morning. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I'm glad that there's no walk it back Mayo. I was thinking like he needed a treadmill sponsor or like a Skechers or a comfortable pair of shoes or orthotics to sponsor the Mayo's Walk It Back Monday segment. But I was thinking during the break, you know, between the two coordinators, you were talking about, like, you feel like Mayo may have done enough yesterday to earn his job.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't bring him back, but I'm nervous he did enough for the Crafts to keep him, yes.
I agree. I think he is. I always thought he was going to get a second year as well because he's just been doomed, surrounded by people that weren't ready for their moment, or maybe if they were, they needed more competent coaches and greater football minds around them as well, Jones. But there's likely going to be one coordinator that gets canned this offseason. I feel like someone's going to be the sacrificial lamb or the scapegoat. So who do you feel has done more with less between the two. Between Covington, who had the spine of his defense basically ripped out early on with losing Bentley after week one, minimal Barmore and inconsistent Jabril Peppers with the domestic incident and the arrest, as well as now the host of injuries the guy's playing through, or Alex Van Pelt, who was saddled with an old broken down quarterback, then ultimately a rookie quarterback, followed by no offensive line, no elite talent on the outside, and a running back that has fumble issues.
To me, unquestionably, it's Van Pelt. Van Pelt's done a better job. I would bring him back out of the two.
Same.
But I don't need either of them back, but now I got to pick one. Van Pelt's easily done a better job with what he's been given. Yes.
Yeah, I actually think he's not getting enough. And he gets the saving grace of, oh, so you're partly responsible along with T.C. McCartley and Ben, what would you say, you McAdoo around here. You guys are kind of responsible for the good work you've done with Drake May, who, yes, did contribute to the loss yesterday, but is so much more of a net positive for the Patriots now and going forward that I'm not here to entertain, you know, a host of Drake May criticisms.
So, look, we'll get into all of it. Your phone, 617-779-7937. That's also your text number. So, you know, how much blame is on May? You were just alluding to it there. I think for yesterday's loss, a lot. I like the prospect, yeah, but for yesterday's loss, a lot. Ramondre Stevenson, regrettable contract, the worst fumbler in the NFL since 2020, one of the worst in the last, whatever it was, 10 years, a decade plus in the league with seven fumbles already, plus Jerod Mayo and whether or not he's done enough to keep his job. But Phil Perry wrote about this kind of late yesterday, like relatively close to kickoff. I don't know how much this got buried and overlooked. But he said recent opponents, writing about the job security of Mayo, Van Pelt, and Covington, which is what you're talking about here, Fitzy. Yes, recent opponents felt as though New England's primary issue was due to those wearing helmets on the sidelines, not the headsets. So blaming Elliott Wolf and the roster, not the coaching. Quote from a rival GM, the quarterback, Drake May, looks like the real deal. He just needs a lot of help, especially on the offensive line, which I've been told Fitzy has opened up like the southern border. The scheme defensively is not bad, said an opposing offensive coordinator. We've seen worse. It's not exactly a ringing endorsement, but okay. Their problem is they have one good player, Gonzalez, and a bunch of those guys who played good football for them in the past aren't themselves right now. Mm-hmm. Phil continues, speaking to several sources around the league who have experience with hirings and firings at the head coach and coordinator level, for them, there are two paths that seem to make the most sense for the Patriots moving forward. One would be to start over with an entirely new staff, which I'm in favor of. The other would be to keep all three, Mayo, Covington, and Van Pelt, and allow them to try to get their team back to contention with a roster that should be able to improve this upcoming offseason. The thinking in the latter scenario, even if you have designs on swapping out coordinators and keeping Mayo, coveted options for those jobs could be hard to come by. If tethered to a head coach who could be on the hot seat in year two with a roster that appears to still be in need of multiple offseasons of rebuilding, will a coordinator or coordinators truly be set up for success? So Phil is saying, from talking to people around the league, it's an all or nothing approach. Either fire all three of them, mm-hmm, or bring all three back, because are you really going to do better than Van Pelt or Covington in a potential scenario where you're tied to a coach who won't survive the next year? No one's going to want these jobs, is what Phil is hearing around the league. So an all or nothing, they could all be back. I still don't believe that. I don't want to believe that. But that's what Phil's saying. All three could be back next year.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising?
People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
What defensive coordinator, A, is going to want to come into a place that is in massive transition like this, like you just said? And two, who's it going to be? Who's going to come in with someone who has no familiarity with this talent on a team that's trying to turn a frigate ship around in the middle of a canal? Like, it's between if you presented these two scenarios, Jones, they either all come back or nobody comes back and they blow it all out. They all come back is probably 65-70% the option. It's going to happen. I mean, really, they're going to possibly have an introspective moment this offseason where they say, all these guys were in the first year. We didn't give them enough talent to win. That's on us. Now we're gonna give you the checkbook. Now you guys can go out. Here's the Venmo password. Go get all the trench beef you need. Go get some playmakers. Get healthy. And then if we give you guys the tools that you were craving or crying out for this year, and you still can't win, now I think they'll all go at the end. If next year it's another 5-12 affair and it doesn't look like there's a brighter future for 26 and beyond, everybody gets blown out.
Yeah. I'm with Jerron on that one. Everybody's back. Everybody's back. I still don't want to believe that. I don't believe that. But Phil's very plugged in. I just can't imagine Kraft would say, run it back. Run back the same crap thing. We're not going to take anybody's job. We're just going to bring everybody back from their worst year since 1992. If they win three games, it's the worst year they've had since 1992, and it feels light years worse than a year ago, which was really, really bad. So I can't imagine they bring everyone back, but that's the scenario Phil paints. What do you think about that? All or nothing approach from the Patriots. All three of Mayo, Van Pelt, and Covington could survive.